From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8, but ye shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What's going to happen as a result of that power? Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now go with me to chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we know they were indwelt with the Holy Ghost already at this point. But they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake, what was the result? They spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know, as well as I in the book of Acts, what was taking place here at the early church in Jerusalem. You know the results. You know the souls that were being saved. Amazing things were happening at this point in the history of the church. The supernatural was being seen. And I dare say in this day and age, there's very little supernatural that is taking place in God's work. The Bible says the Holy Ghost would come. Those men would be filled. As a result, we see that they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, how we need the boldness that comes to the Spirit's filling. Because I've seen many men that were bold, and boldness that comes from the flesh is extremely obnoxious. Any power that emanates from the carnal flesh is power based on position or money or authority, man-made authority. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about the desperate need of Holy Spirit power. And the church today has become very content with the natural arm of the flesh and the results it can produce. We're pretty content with our programs. We're pretty content with our gadgets and our technology and our screens and our facilities. Pretty content with our conferences and our sound systems and our advertisement. And surprisingly, the New Testament church in Jerusalem had none of that. Absolutely none of that. Souls were being saved. Revival was taking place. And here's what I want you to see tonight, church, as we go into this series of messages. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And I think the reason we're living without the Spirit's power, in general, I don't want to overgeneralize, but I think there's just a lack of desire on the part of God's people because, number one, we're pretty satisfied with what we can accomplish, our own talents and abilities and through our knowledge and the wisdom that we've gleaned and the things that we've put into place, that the Holy Spirit really has been forced to take a back seat and watch. There's a lot of effort being made that's not empowered by the Holy Ghost. And I think we've learned to substitute a million things for the Holy Ghost. Now, church, I desperately want your attention because there's nothing more useless. Listen, as we go into 2017 and we understand the nearness of His return and we understand the city that we're living in and the hardness of people's hearts and our duty as a church to evangelize the world, and we understand as things become more complicated and the rising cost of health insurance and the cost of living in this city and yet maintaining our duty in evangelizing the world and sending out missionaries in all that's involved in that financially, running bus routes and Sunday schools and different ministries and the Spanish ministry, we can put together, and we have a pretty sizable army, and I'm astounded by the participation of this church and amazed because I think it's unparalleled. How many workers and how many people are offering and how many people are learning and fine-tuning their skills. But all of that without the Holy Ghost empowering that and blessing that is futile. And here's what we see in the Bible. Go back with me to Judges. I want to show you three reminders quickly. Judges chapter 14. Samson, who was given the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, when there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not the permanent indwelling, Samson had the Holy Spirit and tried substituting it for human strength. Now we look at this because we know the story and we say, how crazy, how absolutely crazy, what a fool. Everything in his favor. I don't know of anyone in the Bible that had more in his favor than Samson, and God was supernaturally intervening for him on the behalf of Israel. Look what it says in chapter 14, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This was not Samson. We talk about his strength. This was the Spirit of the Lord. He ran him as he would have ran a kid. Speaking of a lion. Now you just don't step in and rip a lion into pieces with your bare hands based on your incredible strength. This was the Spirit of God coming mightily upon him. Look what it says in chapter 14, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. Look what it says in chapter 15, verse 14. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. Now, when God has a work for man to do, he understands that there's no way for man to do that work, because God's not satisfied with the natural effort of man or the natural product of our efforts. We're talking about the saving of souls, the changing of lives, the instruction of children, the building of ministries. We're talking about a spiritual work that must be done spiritually, but somehow Satan has said, that's okay if you're faithful to church, and that's okay if you're involved in ministry, and that's okay if you're building a family, and that's okay if you're surrendered to full-time service. Just do it in your own power, because he knows. God is not going to do or accomplish in you what he could accomplish through his Holy Spirit. But literally, I was raised in a different generation, and the previous generation knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit of God and work in the Spirit of God. And we saw an incredible movement in the salvation of souls and revival and things that took place that are not happening in this generation. Churches are larger and deader, more absent of the Spirit of God and the movement of the Spirit of God. But man is more satisfied than ever. We look at our facilities with great awe at the creation of our own hands as if God had done all that. I know God meets needs, and I know God provides the facilities that we should have, but with great debt, we beat our chests on the back of Christian schools, and we plan and we plot, and let's see if we can start a daycare center to finance this great work of God. No need in this day and age to fast and pray, because you can start a daycare center and finance all your dreams and desires. No need to have people sacrifice to build a new building. Just start a Christian school. Charge people $500 a month, put the kid in. We are a generation that has said, Holy Spirit, you might as well sit on the sidelines, because we got this figured out, and we're scheming, and we brought the brightest minds of our church together, and we pretty much have figured out a way to make this happen without you. If we sing the right song and bring in the right singer and use the right chords on the piano, we can get people to run down the aisle. I remember 30 years ago when people were running down the aisle to get saved. Not an emotional outburst of screaming and craziness and drawing attention to themselves, but literally a moving of the Holy Spirit that brought the sinner to Christ. But today, the things that stir us up It's not a message. How many, you know how many times I've sat in a service, and because of the singing, people emotionally get stirred up. They cancel the preacher. God's moved in. Let's cancel the preaching. I'm confused. I thought if God moved in, he would do it through the preaching of the Word of God. And here's what happened. The same thing that we're seeing in Samson, we're seeing in our churches, where the Spirit of God will move in and do something, and suddenly our minds are convinced that was our power. That was our ability. That was our program. That was my lesson. So now, chapter 16, verse 20. She said, the Philistines, you know the story. We're not going to go through the background. This is Delilah. She has deceived Samson. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He woke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as at other times before. Do you see his mindset? He was convinced that those things that he had done previously, he had done in his own strength and might. I'll go out as other times before, shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the result, the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. And here's what's astounding, that we know the story and we think Samson to be a fool. And yet we fall on the same path and make the same mistake, where we watch God do a work or two, and suddenly we're convinced it was our strength, our program, our planning, our power, our talent, our ability. And we begin to rely on that talent and that ability. And here's what happens. People are impressed. Listen, making an impression on people is not the work of the Holy Spirit. Bringing conviction and salvation to a lost soul is the work of the Holy Spirit. Transforming lives is the work of the Holy Spirit. But today's Christianity has become about, let's see who can drop someone's jaw. Let's see who can cause an awe, an ooh, that's amazing. Let's see who we can impress in this endeavor. God's not impressed because he's not even present. What we do, let's do by his Spirit. What we teach, what we accomplish, when we sow in, when we preach, let's do it by his Spirit. I'm all for being homiletically correct, but I'd rather teach these young men to walk with God and establish relationship with God and preach with the power of God. I know Brother Barton's been around long enough. Brother Hoffmeister had these previous generations. We saw men didn't even know what an outline was. You heard Brother Lester Roloff, who'd open up his Bible and work his way through a text, and the power of God would fall, and people get saved, and lives were changed. The most homiletically incorrect man on the planet, but he had the power of God on his ministry. And now through our schools, we've taught administrative ability. And the facilities are prettier than they've ever been, larger than they've ever been. The Christian schools are better run than they've ever been. Academics are at an all-time high. And spirituality is at an all-time low. Amen. You walk into one of those chapels that are in a doornail. Holy Spirit hasn't swept through that place in decades. Because we have substituted the Spirit of God and the power of God for the arm of the flesh. And we're pretty happy about it. You see, the average person, the average Christian, the average church, the average preacher, and they want to show you their biceps. Not that you walk in and feel the Spirit of God moving. Now, matter of fact, we're so confused, we equate the Spirit of God with some kind of emotional feeling that's provoked by a praise team. And the lights are set just perfectly. Matter of fact, we've so manipulated the crowd that now there's not even any reason to preach. We just put up a stool and talk to people for 15 minutes. You didn't bring a Bible. You're not going to miss anything anyways. I'm going to tell you a story and give you a devotional and send you home. No one's changed. No one's radically transformed by the Spirit of God. Church, it is high time. We understand there was a generation of Christians that understood this is by his Spirit. But literally, technology and everything that we have at our fingertips Now you print a flyer. Now you put up a banner. Now you throw up some decorations. And now you send out over the radio and through the newspaper and by way of Facebook, and you draw a crowd and say, isn't it amazing what God did? Not a single prayer meeting. You can get people to work all night on the advertisement and can't get them to spend 5 minutes at a church-wide prayer meeting because there's no understanding this is accomplished by His Spirit. But we like to point the finger. Say, Samson, what were you thinking? I think I'll go out and shake my... You know what Christianity is full of? People shaking themselves. Just a lot of weak and feeble shaking. Look what it said in Daniel chapter 2. Now, we understand that the man that did that, Samson, was a very carnal judge. We understand Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. And here's what it's done. It's left Christians powerless in the work of God. It's left Christians powerless in their Christian walk. In their personal life, I've never seen more frustrated Christian living than I've seen in this generation. Because in order to get victory, you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to do it by the Spirit. You got to cry out, oh God. When was the last time you saw a Christian literally crying out, oh God, give me victory over this? No, you got to take a 3-week course and you got to come subscribe. You got to come down to our program. You got to attend our conference. You got to read this book. You have this personality disorder. Matter of fact, we're going to have to do a personality test and just tell you, that's basically a personality weakness. It's not actually a sin. That's just the way you are. You're a type A. You're a cleric. Deal with it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want to deal with it. Amen. So because we've done a few push-ups, we think in our strength, we're going to accomplish something. How crazy is it for the human mind to actually think that he could accomplish something spiritual with something physical? So what we have to offer God is physical. A flannel graph, a song, a trumpet, a piano, a voice box. God said, that's fine, but I'm not here to reach the ear. I'm here to reach the heart. Man is transformed by his heart. You got to go through the mind and reach 18 inches down to transform the person. Your vocal cords, no matter how incredible they are, cannot change the heart of a man. Your musical skills, your personal talent, your amazing personality is not going to change the heart of a man. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. We see another group of people. These are the Babylonian magicians, Nebuchadnezzar's crowd. They tried replacing the Spirit of God for human wisdom. Look what it says in Daniel 2:2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. What happened? Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king, said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there's no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Verse 27. But Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Look what it says in chapter 4, verse 7. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom, now this is a lost man, and what was he saying? In whom, he said, I see something different in this man, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He had no other way to describe it, but he knew it was supernatural wisdom and understanding. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreted dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Samson, one of the most carnal men, God-picked men, incredible future, given in the Old Testament, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, do something supernatural on the behalf of Israel. But he exchanged it for the arm of the flesh. We can understand just because of his carnality. Now, we can understand here, too, because you're talking about Nebuchadnezzar, an unsaved king until his salvation in Daniel chapter 4. But he's pulling out the world's wisdom when he had Daniel there. Daniel had to be brought. So we can understand, okay, Samson's carnal. Nebuchadnezzar's unsaved. It would be natural for him to discard the presence of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural wisdom of the Holy Spirit and bring in the wisdom of this world. But we're not talking about an unsaved king in an unsaved kingdom. We're talking about the church. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on for a second. Here's what we've done in this generation. The Holy Spirit who gave you supernatural wisdom in the rearing of children, in your marriage, in your ministry, we've replaced that with the earth's wisdom, sensual, devilish. And now, through the books and our degrees and man's endless search for wisdom, now independent Baptists standing up and beating their chest because they got a master's degree, because they got a doctorate degree, and you can't stand on this platform unless you have a doctorate. And now, through the study of psychology, Christian babble and nonsense, here's what we have done. The Holy Spirit says, I want to do something supernatural here. And we've replaced him with the arm of the flesh. And I want to give you supernatural wisdom. And we've replaced that wisdom with earthly wisdom. We're acting like the carnal Samson and the unsaved Nebuchadnezzar by saying, I think we're going to attempt to do all of this without the Holy Spirit. Now you say, preacher, it sounds to me like those are some condemning words. So let me ask you this week, your marriage, your home, your ministry, your attempt to live for God and reach the lost, how much of that was done with the Holy Spirit? Was there any attempt to bring in the Holy Spirit? Any prayer to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? This is a generation of Christians just going through the motion. I'll just push harder. I'll sacrifice more. I'll study, I'll get a degree, I'll bring in a professional, I'll go to a conference, and we will make it happen. We've got the technology, I've got the computers, we'll do the training, because it's not done by a spirit. We're watching generations of young people go through Christian schools and Christian colleges and Christian churches and go straight from there right into the world. I'm still trying to figure out where all of our Christian college graduates are. The percentages are so low because what we're doing now is so mechanical. We've boxed out the Holy Spirit. When it was done in Scripture, it was done because we understand the carnality, or even in this case, the lack of salvation that prompted this kind of mindset. But now we're talking about God's people in God's house with God's Word and the indwelling. We have an advantage because they didn't even have the indwelling. We have the indwelling. But God said that's not enough to do the work. It takes the filling, the daily feeling, and the desire. Isaiah 11:2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Oh, today, what a fuss the average pastor has with the average church family because there's no spiritual wisdom. And a leader can talk himself till he's blue in the face trying to explain holiness, dedication, commitment, standards, but there's no spiritual understanding because there's no spiritual involvement in the life of the average Christian. We're not living by His Spirit. We're not guided by His Spirit. We're not filled with His Spirit. So we'll just plan more. We'll bring in the costumes. Have you seen what the average church is doing at the average VBS, if they still have one? All you do is spend about $15,000, $20,000 on props. Youth conferences. I pulled up this week with Brother Jeremy, Brother Kyle, Brother Mark. An example of what's taken place in the average youth conference across this nation among independent Baptists, fundamental independent Baptists. We got to bring in basketball stars and motorcycle marvels and games and theme parks. You say, preacher, is that sinful? No, it's not sinful. But if that's the only way we can capture the hearts of our young people, they're not captured spiritually anyways. We're convinced that crowds and crowd size is the result of a movement of the Holy Spirit. That's the case. Joel Osteen is the most Holy Spirit-filled leader of this generation. You know what we want? Lasting results, lasting spiritual results in the hearts and lives of our children. That's only going to happen by His Spirit. Bringing in young people on the buses, out of homes that are absolutely, you can't even fathom what's going on under the roof. That house, and it can only be done, something permanent and lasting, by His Spirit. And the only way that depression is going to be conquered, and the only way that marriage is going to be reconciled, and the only way that family is going to be helped, is by His Spirit. Why would we be so willing to fall into the rut, go through the motions, establish the rituals, and consider ourselves successful because we've actually managed to accomplish something by a big enough promotion, an exciting enough program, a delightful junior church, and I don't know a more talented group of people on the planet. And you know as much as me that in all these areas, I like things to be professional and beautiful and first class. And I'm not saying we throw that out the window, but there has to be a balance, and the balance is the Holy Spirit is first and foremost, because everything else is fluff. It's decorational. It's not transforming in its power. Let's go to the last example tonight. We'll be done. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, the two men in the Old Testament that had more in their favor than any others of the Bible characters that we see would be Samson and Saul. 1 Samuel 10, verse 10. But we see Saul trying to substitute the Holy Spirit with human ability. 1 Samuel 10:10, when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. The Spirit of God, capital S, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is coming to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? We know, Old Testament, once again, different dispensation. We're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, when he wanted to do something supernatural, would come upon these men. He came upon Saul. So Saul not only had all the physical attributes that were needed to lead these people, the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to come upon you and help you lead these people. But somewhere in his head, he got things out of whack, and he said, you know what? You know, I'm pretty good at what I do, and the people respect me. Maybe I don't so desperately need the Holy Spirit after all. 1 Samuel 13, I'm going to do this in my own strength. Chapter 13, verse 8, and he tarried 7 days, speaking of Samuel, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And he said, you know what, I'm going to do this without the command, without the Spirit of God, without the power of God. And Samuel says, verse 11, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me. And thou camest not within the days appointed. The Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now to me in Gilgal. And I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself. Pastor, I forced myself to teach that class. Not a good idea if God's not in it. I forced myself to do that lesson. I didn't feel like it, but I put together the visual aid. It all came together, brought some candy. The kids were amazed. Even my workers said that was a great lesson. Not if the Holy Spirit wasn't in it. You had no lasting impact on that child other than an ooh or an ah or I love that candy. And Samuel said, verse 13, to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Now go with me to chapter 16, verse 14. You know chapter 15, but you know what that is basically? That's saying anything you do without God in total obedience to God is rebellion. And Christian, here's what I want you to understand tonight. Even going through the ritual and doing the work of God, but without the Holy Spirit of God, is nothing more than rebellion. It's the arm of the flesh. Look what it said in 1 Samuel 16:14. But the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of the Lord, what happened? Well, the Spirit of the Lord, I live in a different dispensation. The Spirit of the Lord can't depart from me. No, not in the sense of the indwelling, but the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the blessing of the Spirit, the wisdom of the Spirit will depart. Christians, here's what I'm pleading with you to do tonight. This was a subject preached on regularly back in the day when there were revivals, premillennial conferences, and Spirit-filled preaching. I remember sitting in services with thousands in the congregation and got so shaking that place that when a man preached on holiness, you'd have dozens saved when salvation wasn't even mentioned. Altars filled, entire congregations on their face before God, people making things right. Marriages restored, bitterness overcome. But now, we send out letters, we charge hundreds of dollars, set up modules, give people information, sign them up, run them through classes, in the end say, now do you understand how to run that program? Put up that website, establish your Facebook, and bring in the crowd. You ask anybody about Christianity 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and Christianity today, they get a faraway look as they remember when there was a touch of God in a spirit of revival, in a moving of the Holy Spirit. But we are in a generation now that's convinced they don't need the Holy Spirit, and the average Christian is operating on a daily basis, totally absent of the Holy Spirit. I've got my work figured out. I got my marriage figured out. I've got my children figured out. I've got my retirement figured out. I've even got my ministry figured out. So Holy Spirit, if you occasionally want to jump on board or not, whatever you want to do. There was a day when men would throw themselves down and daily beg for God to touch their ministry and touch their marriage and touch their children and change that life and save that uncle. And now actually we have people mocking that. I've actually heard messages that say for you to pray for the Holy Spirit is try to take a shortcut to the power of God. Any man that's willing to live without the touch of God and the power of the Spirit is doomed. Don't tell me about today. Talk to me in 10 years and I'll show you your ministry and I'll show you the product and I'll show you the family and I'll show you the kids, because you can't put on a facade of spirituality without the Holy Spirit. But long term, I'll show you the disaster you're going to produce. Amen. And because we're looking at today superficially, it seems to me like my family's okay. It seems to me like my children are okay. It seems to me like my ministry is okay. It seems to me like my finances are okay. As long as I can maintain that facade, I can convince myself that God's involved in this. And Saul had a kingdom for nearly three decades. Tell me about the kingdom. Because he pushed out, listen, the Holy Spirit in a day and age where he wasn't residing in men was residing in Saul. But the minute he said, I think I can do this on my own, the Spirit, being the gentleman that he is, said, okay, go ahead and give it your best shot. And the Spirit got sick of Saul's life and decisions and said, I think I'm going to depart from this temple. Now, we know we are the temple of the Holy Spirit residing. Let me ask you this. How much are you accomplishing by His Spirit? How much soul winning are you doing by His Spirit? How much instruction are you doing by His Spirit? How much ministering in the prison are you doing by His Spirit? How much discipleship are you doing by His Spirit? I can't fathom people literally walking into a Sunday school class or walking into a music ministry or walking into any ministry that we have in this local church without ever even investing 5 minutes. I'm not talking about prayer in general. Not even 5 minutes. Get on your face before God. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to move in the hearts and lives of these people. I need you to take this 3-year-old mind that can comprehend almost nothing outside of bubblegum, candy, and a toy. I need you to do a work in his heart and in his mind that I cannot do. You would think those words would just roll right off our lips. But it's, did you bring the candy? Did you load up the chalkboard? Did you throw in the flannograph? Did you get the toys together? You're running behind. Why didn't you throw that up? I was waiting for the music. I thought that you were going to have the computer set up. We needed the computer. You don't have the computer? Why didn't you bring the computer? Let me ask you this. Why didn't you bring the Holy Spirit? But we will go in a tizzy over a graphic that's out of place when the Holy Spirit has spent months on the sideline. I wish I could take everyone back. I've taken Chris all across this planet to meet preachers and be involved in meetings. But I've come to the realization, no matter what I do, I can't go back in time. Because what has taken place in Christianity in 2017 is mostly by man's strength and mostly absent of his Spirit. The ministries are more beautiful and more impressive, but the heart is more hollow, and we are a shell of what we used to be because we actually think we can do something without his Holy Spirit. David is the contrast. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Don't look on all that outward facade. He said, these are not the men that I'm going to use. I'm going to use a little shepherd boy. Look what it says, chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. What's the Bible say? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. One of the few cases we see in the Old Testament of a man that desired the Spirit of God, and God said, I'm going to give it to you and let the Spirit of God indwell you. And the greatest king that Israel ever experienced was successful because he did it by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Let me ask you this before we close. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what your children need? Not a daddy that makes more money. They need a Spirit-filled daddy. You know what your children need? They don't need a mother that's a professional cook. They need a Spirit-filled mother. Now, here's how we know there's not a lot of Spirit-filled Christianity in 2017 because the Bible says the fruit, not plural, fruit. The fruit is a package deal. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Not a lot of that fruit floating around in our churches, our Christian centers today. Meekness, patience, those are not fruit that you normally see in God's house among God's children. What our ministries need, not is for another young, a talented person to step in and take charge, we need a Spirit-filled Christian. A Spirit-filled Sunday school teacher, a spirit-filled nursery worker, that'll step in and say, whatever I do in God's work, I understand if I'm doing this work in the world, you can do whatever you're doing in the world at that factory, at that company, whether it's deliveries or remodels or building or whatever you're doing, you can do that in the arm of the flesh. 98% of it. I'm talking about the spiritual. What could Capital City accomplish if we did it this year by His Spirit? Church, here's what I'm asking you as your pastor. Here's what I'm begging you to do. What if you commit 1 year, 365 days, say, I'm going to get on my face every day, say, Holy Spirit, I need Your power today to be a witness. I need Your power today to do Your work Your way. I don't want to do this in the arm of the flesh. I don't want to beat my head against a wall. I don't want to accomplish what Adam Thompson and his talents and personality can accomplish. God, I need Your Holy Spirit. Folks, I am thankful for the influence in my life of Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and Jack Hiles and those men of the past that is a 15, 16, 17-year-old young man instilled in me how feeble, how weak, how worthless it would be to get in a pulpit if you haven't thrown yourself before the throne of God and beg the Holy Spirit of God to get involved in that work. But today, load up the car, guys. Throw in the book. Grab the stuff. Don't forget the box. Did you practice the song? Just clean up the room. Let's make sure this gets painted, replaced. Bring in the candy. Tell them about the event we have planned next month. And the Holy Spirit says, boy, I would really like to be included in this. Because this isn't about impressing the mind. This is about changing the heart. Establishing the direction. Revolutionizing a soul. And no human endeavor can accomplish that.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, and the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.